Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I've got some very special guests. These are folks that started out in corporate America. I mean, they've done extremely well for themselves in corporate America. They're working for one of the top tech firms in the nation. They make very, 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 when I say very, I mean very, very good incomes. And along the way, they decided that they wanted to do something a little bit differently. They wanted to get involved with real estate investing. And, you know, they kind of started down the path, but then they got stuck in this little thing called analysis paralysis, which kind of locked them up and kept them from pursuing what they were desiring to pursue. Well, that lasted for about, 10 years. They got stuck in analysis paralysis. And then all of a sudden, they discovered a little company called Lifestyles Unlimited, and they decided to come take a listen to what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. And this was about 4.5 years ago when they did that. Well, once they became members at Lifestyles Unlimited and they went through the educational programs that we offer, that analysis paralysis stuff, it was out the window. They got busy investing in real estate. So busy that they actually invested in 35 different apartment communities in their first 3 years as members. And I'll tell you what, that's a lot of capital to deploy. And you know what? That also says that analysis paralysis, that was in the rearview mirror for them. They also, along the way, decided that they wanted to be in the driver's seat in real estate investing. So they started investing in apartment communities as lead investors. Now, for those of you out there that don't know what a lead investor is, that is somebody at Lifestyles Unlimited that decides to syndicate a real estate deal. So they actually got involved with buying a property and they brought additional Lifestyles members along with them to co-invest with them in those properties. And I'll tell you what, they knocked that out of the park, so much so that they're actually onto their second deal. So, you know, what's probably going through your mind right now is this: how do people that are very busy, that are very well compensated, that do all of these things, where do they find the time to make all of these things happen? Well, we're going to ask that question of Barack and Alex right now. Hey, guys, how you doing?
We are doing well, thanks.
It is so good to have you all on the show today. I mean, I'll tell you what, you guys have been some busy little beavers.
Thank you. Yes, we are busy.
So give some of the insight. Tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, what do you do for corporate America? And what happened to cause you to stop being consumed by analysis paralysis and actually get the ball rolling with real estate investing?
Yeah, sure. In terms of our background, we both in technology, we both lead in what's called product management in Google today. And in the past, we work in companies like Facebook, Microsoft, PayPal, etc. So our career was basically all around technology in kind of engineering product management field. And as you mentioned, we always wanted to kind of invest and create passive source of income, not only because it's more sustainable way of doing it, but also because it's very tax efficient. We live in California, as you noticed, and I'm sure people know that California is the highest rate of income taxes in the nation. Plus federal, we are the highest brackets on the federal side. So it was very important to us to find tax-efficient ways to create wealth, and that was another contributing factor. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, we were on analysis paralysis for 10 years, basically looking at it, single family. They had no clue about multifamily at the time. Even for lifestyles, to tell the truth, we were 3 years analysis paralysis, because the first time we heard about lifestyles from our friends who were investing both in single family and multifamily was in 2013, but it took us, me specifically, I shouldn't put it on anyone else, me, it took me 3 years to get to actually pull the plug and actually go and attend the two-day seminar with David Fisher in Dallas. And I came very, to a large extent, skeptical. I didn't know anything about multifamily or single family. I'm like, I'm not going to pay, I don't remember, it was $10,000 or $12,000 membership for a challenged membership at the time. I'm not going to pay $12,000 or $10,000 for just ability to invest in single family homes. I'll do it myself. But I will learn what they have to say. And then on the second day, David Fisher was talking about multifamily, and that was this aha kind of light bulb moment. It was like, oh my God, we have some funds to deploy. We want to scale it because that's what we learn in our careers. The beauty is scaling things, not only investing one time, investing multiple times. And Lifestyles provides us opportunity to deploy money, to get to know leads, to get to know a lot of passives that can tell you about the leads. So I would say that. And two, maybe a weird part of my character. The moment I put $20,000, I really put the membership at that day, I felt super motivated. I'm like, now I need to put my money to work. I put $20,000, I viewed it as a deposit to basically get access to many deals and many leads, and that's what kept me really, really motivated. So that's kind of the high level of the beginning of our real estate story.
So, Alex, when Brock was doing all this stuff, did you think that maybe he had lost his mind?
Yeah, and by the way, I apologize. As I mentioned, we're busy. Alex actually had to step out for a second. She will be back in a minute, but I will tell you what Alex told me initially. Alex took a role of executive chairman. Basically, I trust you, but you're responsible. It's like, I trust you, do whatever you like, just don't lose money. That was her mantra for the first 2 years of lifestyle investing. She was not interested. She didn't want to know the details. She just held me responsible if something goes wrong.
Yeah, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Whenever your wife tells you that, you know, gives you that kind of edict, the bottom line is you cannot screw that up. You absolutely cannot screw that up. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Yeah, oh, there she's back. Okay. Hey, we're going to break. When we come back, we're going to get inside of their minds right after this.
Del Wamsley on Having a Plan.
The year I got cancer and could not work for 8 months, I lost 50 pounds. I want to tell you that I made $4 million that year. I made more that year than any year I'd ever made previous to that in my life. And I'm not telling you that to impress you. I'm telling you that to impress upon you. I didn't go to work for 8 months. That's a plan.
Create your plan at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, I have some really fantastic people on the show today. I have Barack and Alex. They've been members of Lifestyles Unlimited for about 4.5 years. And I'll tell you what, they are just, to be honest with you, very fantastic people, because when you get to know them, you realize that, you know, they're the epitome of being successful. They're the epitome of taking the bull by the horns and steering it in the direction they want to go. They have very successful careers. They work at Google. They're executives there. They make very good money there. But they decided that they wanted to be involved with real estate investing. So they came to Lifestyles Unlimited to get the education on how to do that. And they elected to go to what we call the Preferred Investor Group membership, where in that particular group, we do a lot of syndicated deals and things like that. There's a lot of reasons why we have that very particular membership. But it made sense to them. So they decided to join that membership, and they got started with real estate investing. So Brock and Alex, pick it up from there. What was the first deal that you invested in?
Yeah, so the first deal was the deal in Dallas that we invested in. Again, I think we put $50,000 on that deal, you know, just to get started. And the deal turned out very well. I think we sold it. We sold it this year, so it gave us more than 20% annual return. And again, the key is, in my opinion, was that then the beauty of lifestyle model is that you can talk to a lot of people who invested with this lead before, or if you know, the best knows that lead before, right? So that, to me, is the biggest thing, because vetting, you need to vet both the lead, the indicator, and the deal. Both of those are equally important, because obviously if lead is bad, nothing will help. But on the deal side, bad lead can make even a good deal bad, but good lead usually or almost never can make a bad deal good. So it's important to vet both. And getting this knowledge, understanding, especially new field, was critical to us. So I spoke to a ton of people who are what I call power passives, meaning people who invested in many deals. Tell me who are the good leads. Tell me about markets. Tell me about how you evaluate deals. Tell me about your best deal and your worst deal. So I spent a lot of time educating myself, and that's the beauty of lifestyle, because you have so many people, like-minded people, great people. Many of those people became our friends, and you're socially engaging with them. You're really enjoying, but you're also talking about topics that make you money. So that's basically how we started by talking to people and getting relatively rapidly, because, as I mentioned, we were motivated, rapidly getting into many deals.
Now, were you taken back by the fact that people were so open with information within our organization?
I was very pleasantly surprised by that, because it sounded like, you know, especially when leads open their book, like, you know, talking to other leads. And now as leads, we know that we can call every lead and ask them, what do you do here? And what do you do with this? And what's your budget? And what's your expenses on this category? It's pretty amazing how open people are. And that there's a lot of credit comes to Dell and to Lifestyle that they created this community of like-minded individuals that are willing and in many cases, you know, feel obliged to share. Like we will talk about our experience. Like Alex is teaching, for example, digital marketing. And like we feel to some extent responsibility to give back given this openness and tremendous help that we got from Lifestyle.
So you got into that first deal. And how long did it take you to get into that second deal? I mean, were you multitasking the whole time, or did you take it one step at a time?
I think I was multitasking. I think I would say it probably take me 3 or 4 months to get the first deal. And usually, you know, you also be stressed. Will I get into deals, et cetera, how I choose deals? The first 3 months, I did really this blitz of talking to as many people as possible, both leads and passives. To basically understand them, understand their view, understand their philosophy, how they choose deals, etc. And then I believe, again, it's also a matter of timing that I believe in the first, like, so let's say I joined in April. I believe in July there was multiple deals in the works, and I believe I ended up investing in 2 or 3 roughly at the same time, and then it kind of started to pick up.
So what was the decision point for the two of you when it came to transitioning from investing passively into becoming a lead investor? What caused you to do that?
Yeah, there was multiple factors. The first factor was that we, at that time, we were in around 20 or maybe 25 deals all in Texas, because obviously that's where Lifestyle is and where bulk of the deals were. And Dell started talking about it, that if you have many Texas deals, you should also diversify and try to invest in other markets. So we started investigating leads and deals and other markets. And we are, as you know, very planned people, very methodical, very disciplined people. So we discovered Arizona is a great market. And we had a lead who is also a dear friend. And we are, you know, we guarantor on his loans, et cetera, Vibe Hapsha, that was doing a deal in Arizona. We liked it. And also another factor, roughly at the same time, Alex got very interested in this topic. As I mentioned initially, she was not really into it. She was more like, don't lose money. I don't care about details. And when she became interested and we saw that, like, now is this power couple, power team, we can do more if we combine our forces. That was basically a decision that maybe it makes sense for us to go into a lead investing ourselves.
So I know that you guys focused on that Arizona market and you decided to get your first deal in Arizona, but the members of the audience, they're probably scratching their heads and wondering why Arizona, why specifically Arizona?
Yeah, great question. So as I say, we are very methodical, even as a passive investor, and definitely as leads, to look at different characteristics of the market that will be useful to us. So there were three characteristics. The first one was that it's a market that is easily accessible to us. We have like 35 direct flights from California, from our area to Arizona every day, and they're only 2 hours. And that's very critical because they need to show your local team, like brokers that bring you deals. These are very responsive, and you can be in the market like literally on a day's notice. Like they call us at 4 p.m. In the afternoon, we have a deal in Phoenix. Next day at 9 a.m., we are there, and we are touring the property. So it was very important for us that it's easily accessible. The second aspect that when we investigated, we found that Arizona and Phoenix as multifamily powerhouses, a powerhouse in terms of two most important things that are really matter in multifamily real estate: growth in income that usually correlates to growth in jobs and population, and stability on expenses front. So on income, Arizona and specifically county of Phoenix is one of the highest growing in the country in terms of job growth and population growth, which is very critical, together with other great markets like Texas and Florida. So we felt good that we're investing in the right market. But even more amazing is that you have stable expenses, which is very critical. One thing that, for example, we dread about Texas, where we have a lot of investments that are doing well, that in Texas you have significant jump in property taxes and insurance every year. So in what we found in Arizona, it's extremely stable. So on property taxes, which is the single biggest expense category in multifamily real estate, it's actually kept by law to no more than 5% increase year over year. And it actually doesn't matter whether you bought the property at much higher price. They just continuously...
Hold that thought, Barack. We're getting ready to go to break. When we come back, we're going to get back into this right after this.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So as we were going to break, Barack and Alex were pointing out some of the reasons why they decided to invest in the Phoenix marketplace. And you had a couple of data points that you wanted to bring out, Barack, and fortunately we just didn't have enough time left. But what are those things that you wanted to address regarding the Phoenix marketplace?
Yeah, so I covered the growth and income based ties to job growth and population growth, which Phoenix area or Arizona leading one of the leading in the nation. On the expensive side, which is very important because at the end of the day, you make profit when you increase income, but you keep your expenses low. Phoenix has great stability on areas where in other places it might not be as stable. For example, property taxes. It's relatively small. It's like one-third of, for example, roughly one-third, if not more, than compared to Texas, for example, but it's not growing because by the law that was legislated in 2015, the growth in your property tax assessment is kept at 5% year over year, up to 5% actually. And it doesn't matter whether you purchase a property for higher prices. It's just 5%, up to 5% year over year. And it's up to 5%, and I mean it, because this year we just bought our new property tax assessment. It's only 1.2% increase, which is awesome. And the second thing, Arizona is a state that has no natural disasters, at least for the last, I don't know, 35, 50 years. And therefore, insurance rates are very low also compared to other markets. And they're also not growing. For example, our property, 68-unit property, it actually went down by $300. So it was awesome to get a check back in the mail from your insurance company that you overpaid for your insurance premium. So this on the like attractiveness of the market. And finally, for us, it was also we knew the market because we had family in Phoenix. So it was we knew the market pretty well even before because we were visiting it for years. Plus, it has opportunity to combine business with pleasure, so to speak. So that was basically three factors why we decided to invest in Phoenix. Easily acceptable, great fundamentals on real estate, on income growth and expenses staying low, and knowledge of the market and having, you know, relative there.
So as you were scouring the market, you came across that 68-unit complex. What was it about that particular property that caught your eye and made you realize that that was the direction you wanted to go?
Yeah, great question. So there was multiple factors. It was pretty affordable and emerging markets in Phoenix. So it's a working class neighborhood, which what we like to invest in working class neighborhoods, what's called class B or class C property. And it's a market that is slowly revitalizing, so there is opportunity to grow rent. And by the way, one additional amazing thing about Phoenix, and in this market, sub-market in particular, that despite all the amazing growth in rent, for example, if you compare it just before the pandemic, in March 2020, the growth in rent in Phoenix was almost 10%, 9.2%. But it's still one of the most affordable markets in the U.S., meaning you have more ability to grow. And this sub-market compared to Phoenix was under market, I believe, by 17% below average, which meant we can push the rent higher, potentially. So that was one thing we liked. The property was single story that a lot of people love because it's closer to gets to, you know, having your own place, because it's not like you're not feeling you're living in a big apartment complex. And it has very nice, attractive unit mix. And most importantly, units were all classic. It was mom and pop owner that, you know, took pretty good care of the property, but didn't invest enough in it. And we felt an opportunity that we can upgrade the units, do like relatively basic innovations, you know, like new flooring, maybe new cabinet doors, not like replacing the cabinet. And we can charge significant premium in our business plan and our pro forma. We budgeted $75 increase on renovated units. We're currently getting almost double it and probably will push even higher. We're getting $130 to $150 premium on those renovated units. So that was probably the biggest thing that attracted us to this property. Plus, because it was a mom and pop guy who actually liked us. I mean, we even offered him to tour Google campus. He has relatives in California. And he actually came. After we closed, he came to tour with us. We became kind of friends. Plus, and he basically sold it to us, I would say, in pretty significant, at least 10% discount versus market. So there was multiple factors that made us really, really like this property.
So how's the property producing? I mean, what is it doing for you in the way of cash flow? What's it doing for you in the way of appreciation? How is this property benefiting you and your investors?
Sure. And I'll address that on two levels. One is how much we distribute, and B, how much value creation we created. And it's obviously on paper right now because we're not planning to sell it, but that's, I think, very important aspect. So we were able, as I mentioned, the key is to grow revenue, to grow income, and keep expenses at bay. So in that particular case, we're able to grow revenue significantly, including after COVID, during COVID. So for example, last month, we collected 10% more in income, actually in August, we collected 10% more in income than our pre-COVID peak that was in March. That was great. So even during pandemic, it's doing well. We were able to significantly increase our income. In terms of our distributions that we're paying out to investors, at the end of first year, we planned to pay 6.4%, what's called cash on cash return. We are definitely achieved those goals, but because of the pandemic, we want to be a bit cautious. So our last distribution that went out in August, we paid roughly 6%, 5.7% in distribution. So we're generally exceeding our goals, but obviously right now you want to have the degree of caution because there is so many uncertainties during to COVID and economic situations, you know, ban on evictions, et cetera. So we're a bit conservative. If you look at our paper gains, meaning how much value we created, if theoretically speaking, we would sell the property today, and I'm giving you gross numbers, meaning not accounting for the closing costs, et cetera, but roughly speaking, given the increase in income and what's called net operating income, basically in profit that we generated in last year, plus, you know, favorite pricing, because the pricing in Phoenix is not stopping. Prices continue to grow. We estimate that we created a gross profit of roughly 114%, which means, to make it simple, if you invested 100, $1,000, if we sell tomorrow, we would give you back $214,000. Basically, we'd make a profit of $114,000. So that's on a high level, like the paper gross gains in terms of value creation, which is very important because there's still a lot of equity in the deal, plus our distribution.
And what does the next step look like for you?
Yeah, great question. So we are under contract and actively doing due diligence on our next deal in Phoenix, Arizona. And the goal is, you know, to gradually increase and create bigger real estate portfolio, both as passive investors, we continue to selectively invest as passive investors, and as leads, and basically generate passive income that is also tax advantage because you're usually not paying taxes on real estate, on your real estate profits. And as Alex likes to say, basically have your money work for you, not you work for the money.
Yeah, that is excellent advice. You know, I think there's a lot of folks out there that kind of have that backwards. They're focused so much on working for the money, they forget to realize that if you deploy capital, that capital should be working on your behalf.
Yes, totally. And, you know, when you look at it, you are your most important asset, but, like, the asset is not, you know, it's not a sustainable asset. You can have health problems. Something could happen on a corporate level, et cetera. And Dell gave a very good example today when he had health issues. He did not basically do anything for 8 months, but he generated millions of dollars in income because he had all this wealth creation machine, all the investments that he did before, continue to generate, you know, money for him. So that's much more sustainable way when you generate passive income, when the money works for you.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is the whole concept of investing correctly. And when you invest correctly, especially when you invest in real estate, you have the ability to make money five different ways, six ways if we're talking multifamily. I'll tell you what, we're getting ready to go to break, guys. When we come back from the break, I want to get into the concept of giving back. And we'll be back right after this.
It comes a point in time, every now and then, when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. On today's show, I'm just really having a great time because I've got Barack and Alex on with me. They are members of Lifestyles Unlimited. They've been members for 4.5 years. They've been invested passively in as many as 35 different apartment communities. Now they're down to 29 because 6 of those apartment communities had sold. And as a result of that, they got their money back plus the profits associated with that. But along the way, they decided to invest as lead investors. In other words, they went out and syndicated real estate deals and made those offerings available to their fellow Lifestyles Unlimited members. And, you know, they're really just doing great. They took down a 68 unit property in Phoenix. I have had the opportunity to be in seminars with them where they've presented all the information. I mean, and they get into the nitty-gritty. I'll tell you what, when it comes to sharing information, they firmly believe that knowledge is power, and sharing it is even more powerful. So what I'd like to do in this segment, guys, is I would like to talk a little bit about that concept of giving back, because that really is at the heart of our culture at Lifestyles Unlimited. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so. Yes, I think a big part of our success is attributed to this notion of openness and being able to ask people questions and giving back, because people are willing to help.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I first became a member and, you know, people started sharing information about properties, like literally right in front of me, I was kind of taken back, and I thought, am I supposed to be listening to this? But then I realized that's just part of our culture. That's part of how we educate each other. That's part of how we learn. And it had a dynamic effect on your real estate investing.
That's absolutely right. I think our ability to learn from others has been critical driver of success, both in our passive investing and even more so in our lead investing sort of experience. That just takes it to the next level. The ability to start out when you have such a strong network of leads and mentors to learn from, and basically prevents you from making a bunch of mistakes.
Now, one of the things you've done, Alex, is you've actually stepped up in front of the membership, and you've presented at some of our expo events. And for the members of our listening audience that don't know what expo is, it's an annual event that we put on where we invite all of our Lifestyles Unlimited members to join us. We also invite members of the general public that are interested in becoming a member of our organization. They're allowed to come hang out. And we did one literally just before COVID hit in February of this year. And we had about, I think the numbers came in right around 5,000 people, 5,000 like-minded individuals that all came together to network and share information and to learn from each other. And you literally stepped up to the plate and you presented information to the membership on digital marketing. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. For the past 2 years, actually, in Expo, I wanted to come in and give even more back, really give the maximum that I can to this absolutely unbelievably amazing community. I wanted sort of to share the learnings and insights that I've gathered throughout my career. Sort of throughout my technology career, I've been fortunate to do quite a bit of work on ads and digital marketing and digital presence. And through that, also discovered how important that is to all industries, to be honest, but in particular, how to make that work for real estate investments, real estate multifamily apartment complexes. In our world, the digital presence is key to let people know who you are, what you have to offer, getting potential tenants, converting them to actual tenants. And of course, in COVID times, that completely took the next level of importance, right? Like, digital is how people do everything right now. Before, we were just sort of evolving and slowly moving into that world, but today we are there. And so I wanted to make sure that I'm sharing my knowledge as widely as possible with this community and giving people that power so they can improve their businesses and sort of reach more people.
What are you seeing in the way of trends with regards to the real estate industry and digital marketing?
I think most recently, right, COVID is on all our minds. That's sort of where our life revolves around nowadays. Everyone is going online, right? Like, one could have imagined before COVID that perhaps when an event like that happens, that people are, you know, trying to move less or sort of staying put and on holding. But the fact is that there is a lot of activity online on rental sites, whether it's apartments.com or Facebook or Zillow for single family, et cetera. People are going online constantly looking, and that activity just tripled. And so it's really important to have the right presence and send the right message to your potential customers.
And I would just add that also online reputations like reviews matter a lot. So, for example, in our current property invested a lot in this. So, for example, average reviews before was like 3 out of 5, and now it's 4.1 out of 5. And I would also say that there is a lot of properties, especially on the smaller side, that have no digital presence. There's an example, the properties that we are under contract right now, on Google Maps, they still have the old name. So property was completely repositioned by current owner, but it's not even, doesn't show up his right name online on Google Maps. And that's an opportunity for us. If we take over with, that's one of the first things we do, increase digital presence and increase your digital reputation, which because people look at reviews, people care about those things. Is it a high quality community out there living in?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I just spent a week traveling across the United States with my oldest son, and you know, we literally used Google information to determine where we were going to eat. I really think that if people are owning and operating real estate properties, they really need to have some type of digital presence because, I mean, now you guys are the smart guys here. I'm just kind of out here asking the silly questions. But I really think that if you own and operate residential income properties, specifically in the multifamily space, you need to have that footprint. Do they not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was a must pre-COVID, but it is, you know, even beyond a must right now. It's part of your staples. You have to have that presence. Honestly, to exist in this world, you must have that presence, and you have to put your best foot forward. Reviews, pictures, the message you send out, all of these are tools to share information about you online.
Now, if there's somebody out there listening to us that is, you know, sitting back and saying, whoa, wait a minute, I don't have any of that, can they get started? I mean, is it really difficult to get that digital presence up and running?
No, absolutely not. In fact, there are plenty of free tools available. The most basic ones are Facebook. You can create a Facebook page and start marketing that. And the second one is a presence on Google Maps. Any sort of business or building that belongs to someone on Google Maps, the owner can come in, prove that they own it, and then they effectively take over that listing, can add pictures, can add the right information, et cetera. And in fact, during the pandemic, Google Maps really encourages folks to make sure that the information is correct so people can find the right information online.
That's pretty interesting information. Do you think that there is a presence for, say, single-family investors, maybe somebody that has, I don't know, 10 single-family houses? Could they benefit from a digital presence also, do you think?
Absolutely. There are slightly different tools available. You can still do Facebook, but probably you will need to be using Facebook Marketplace, which is sort of the new Craigslist. Where you can put this home for rent and like all of the relevant information. And the second is apartments.com, where I've seen single family housing being available as well. And there again, you need pictures and like, you know, all of the correct information.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is if, you know, in today's day and age, if you are an owner of real estate and you are in the real estate investing business, you really need to have some type of digital presence.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, hey, we've got about 30 seconds left, guys. Anything you'd like to say to our listeners that they need to hear?
Well, I like to repeat my mantra that Barack already pulled the plug on. Make your money work for you. Don't only work for your money.
Yep. Yeah, well said.
Well, That's it. And that was very succinct. And I really want to say thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedules to be a part of what we do here on this radio show. I appreciate your time. I know the listeners really appreciate everything that you provided. And for those of you trying to figure out how to get started, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.